Support for the Front Row on FM 89.1 comes from the Community Foundation of West Texas and from Citibank. Citibank's wealth management team of advisors, private bankers, and trust officers help customers create personalized strategies to help connect with long-term goals. More information on Citibank Wealth Management is available at 806-687-2955. And from Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vast opportunities abound in art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by vastly talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vastly different. The Texas Tech University School of Music sponsors a competition every year for a chance to perform with the university orchestra in concert. That performance will be this weekend, and we'll speak with the winners on today's show. I hope you can make plans to stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we are at the Texas Tech University School of Music, visiting with four students who, through a juried process, are performing with the Texas Tech University Symphony Orchestra on a concert this weekend called Elan of Youth. And we're very happy to have all four of you with us on the show today. Thank you for making time to be with us.
Thank you for having us.
Let me start with Catherine Chen. If you would tell us just a little bit about how this concert came to be. How is it that you all are playing on this concert?
Well, this is the concerto winners concert. We all won concerto competitions held by our own divisions. For me, I'm the winner from the strings division. Nicole's the winner from the voice division. Christopher is from the brass and percussion division. And Charles is from the piano division. And Spencer Hartman, who isn't here today, is from the winds division. And these competitions were held during the 2018-2019 school semester.
Right. You then knew that the next year you would be on this particular concert.
Yes.
Right. Excellent. All right. So that's how the students were selected for this particular concert that's coming up this Wednesday. Let me begin with Nicole Magajon. Mm-hmm. You are from the vocal division, is that right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about you and your journey to Texas Tech.
Me and my journey. Oh, it's been a long one. I actually started off as an engineer at Texas Tech in 2015. Then my heart wasn't in it. I knew something was pulling me towards the arts. And one evening at a choral concert, just watching these university choir students enjoying what they do and really just being in love with what God gave them, made me realize, oh, wow, okay, I guess this is what I want to do. So that night, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I thought it'd be just a passing thought. And I woke up the next morning and it still was drilling my head. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make the move. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know that I can sing and that's about it. Didn't think opera would be the exact same thing that I'm doing today, but I'm very, very fortunate that I have that gift. So that's how I got into the vocal department, and I've been here for about 3.5 years now, and this is my final year.
Right.
So I'll be going off to grad school next year, and it's been a long road. It's been a really fun one. The opportunities that the vocal department has given me and the school music has been enormous. I just came back from Chicago this past week with Susan Graham. So that was incredible.
That's some great mentorship. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, she knows it all. Right. And I look up to her very much, and she still has an amazing career. Look at her go. So I'm hoping that she can mentor me into those steps so she did it so elegantly, and that is the goal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the piece you will perform on the concert.
Mm-hmm. I will be performing Luigi Arditi's Il Bacio. Il Bacio translates to The Kiss, and it's a very, very flirty song. It wasn't meant for, you know, huge audiences or anything like that. It was just meant for fun and what they call it, like a musica di camera, music of the chamber. And it's very flirty. It shows some coloratura aspects to it. We've also added some ornamentation just to make it more showy. Right. And yeah, I have a lot of fun with it. There's many sections in the piece where it allows me to change character, to change idea. And so I'm really glad the composer actually put those words in there to make me think, okay, this is how I'm feeling in this section. All right, okay, I'm getting some heart palpitations here. So yeah, I really enjoy this piece. It's really fun. It's really fun. Nothing too serious about it, but it's really flirty.
Well, we can't wait to hear it.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you.
Great. That's Nicole Magajon. Yes. I wish you the very best on the concert.
Thank you so much.
Catherine, let me come back to you. Catherine Chen, you won the string division, and you are a violist,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct.
And you're doing a piece by Paul Hindemith called mm-hmm. Schwanendreher. What is Schwanendreher?
Schwanendreher means swan turner. So my joke, at least, and a lot of violists joke about the name of this movement, this concerto being the dead swan concerto, because you can't turn a swan over a spit unless it's dead. But it's been brought to my attention more recently that the swan turner could also refer to the turning mechanism on a hurdy-gurdy, which is shaped kind of like a swan's neck. And wandering musician or minstrel of that time, folk in the medieval times, would have carried a hurdy-gurdy with him as he traveled from village to village, entertaining crowds and sharing stories of other villages and folk songs, which is ultimately what this whole concerto is based on.
Right. Hindemith, a great violist himself, mm-hmm. so he probably wrote really well for the instrument, so you probably really enjoy playing it, right?
Yes. It's one of my favorite pieces to play. I've been playing it for over 8 years at this point, and it just, every day is a new discovery, and I fall more and more in love with the piece.
Right. And it's in your fingers. After 8 years, it's right, yeah.
I sure hope so. Knock on wood.
Excellent. So for people who won't know anything about it, what should they listen for? What should they appreciate about the piece as you play it?
I think the first thing that will strike listeners and audience members is probably the size of the orchestra, actually. You mentioned that Paul Hindemith himself was a violist, so he wrote very well for the viola, but he also was very conscious of the orchestra that would be supporting and contributing to this performance. So it is, the title of the piece is for viola and chamber orchestra. It is a reduced version. We have 4 cellos and 3 string basses, no violins and violas, because they would be in the same timbre and register as the solo violist. So he cuts out all of that surrounding ambiance
to make room for you.
Exactly, yeah, yes. And then we have winds, flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, and a trumpet, trombone, and horns. Can't forget the horns, and a timpanist and a harpist.
Right. When did you decide you wanted to play viola?
Ooh, that's a good question. I was a junior in high school and playing violin, actually. At this point, I'd been playing violin for a few years, had some fun. It's interesting, I come from Canada, and where I'm from, the school orchestras aren't as well-funded as they might be here in Texas. So my sister actually was the only violist in the orchestra, and she desperately wanted a stand partner. So she convinced me to switch over and join her in school orchestra. And I said, hey, you know, why not? You know, how hard can a viola be? But I grew to fall. I fell in love with the C string. I did more and more of that. And here I am over 10 years later with viola as my main instrument.
Right. And are you a graduate student?
Yes, I'm in my second year of my doctoral program here, yes.
Right. All right, excellent. Well, we're excited to hear you play Friday evening. Catherine Chen, who is going to be playing viola on the concert coming up this weekend with the Texas Tech University Symphony Orchestra. Moving on to Christopher Marafshan playing marimba, is that correct? And a lot of folks might recognize you because you often play with Lubbock Symphony.
Right.
So that will be good. You're playing marimba in this case by a composer named Eric Oasen that I only know him as writing brass sonatas. I didn't know that he wrote for percussion. So tell us about this piece.
Right. So Eric Oasen, I'm playing the first movement of Eric Oasen's Concerto for Marimba and String Orchestra. Oasen is actually a pretty prolific composer for percussion. We usually think of him as a brass composer, but he has a few percussion pieces, some solo marimba work, Northern Lights. He has some ensemble works, the Palace of Nine Perfections. So he has a good amount of percussion repertoire. For his marimba concerto, He describes his solo as neo-romantic, and he really based the inspiration for this concerto off of romantic piano concertos, the Tchaikovsky piano concerto especially. So this piece is very virtuosic and very technically demanding. It starts with a lyrical opening chorale for the marimba and then goes into what I can only describe as just a 10-minute arpeggio fest on the instrument. But it's a very technically demanding piece for the instrument, and I think the reason, or the thing that I'm most excited about with this piece is the fact that I think it's a really great piece for showcasing the instrument itself and showcasing all of the musical and technical capabilities of the marimba. It uses the entire range of the marimba in very rapid succession sometimes, and it's just great. A great piece for showcasing the instrument and what it's capable of.
When did you decide that you enjoyed percussion and marimba, keyboard?
Well, I think there was this weird sort of obsession that came up for me in high school for just percussion. And it's just something that the better I got at it, the more and more I just wanted to do it and wanted to have music be a part of my life. For marimba specifically, it's interesting because when I first started percussion as a kid, I hated marimba. I hated keyboards, actually. And a lot of middle schoolers, a lot of younger percussionists are like this, to where they all want to play the drums, right? And then I didn't want to touch any keyboard instrument with a 10-foot pole, right? But I think for me, and again, this all kind of happened in high school, the more I realized what the instrument is capable of and realized what all you can do with it technically and musically, the more I just started to love the instrument, right? And that's what I kind of hope to do a little bit with this, is just showcase the instrument and everything it's capable of, and maybe, you know, maybe some people will kind of feel that same excitement that I felt for it way back then.
Right. Excellent. Well, Chris, good luck on the concert. We can't wait to hear it.
Thank you so much.
And we're not able to have Spencer Hartman with us today. He's playing a flute concerto by the American composer Lowell Lieberman, but we'll have that on Friday night. But we do have with us Charles Whitehead, who is playing the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto, first movement of the concerto.
Yes.
Charles, this is a huge piece with just fistfuls of notes, and it's a piece that not for a long, long time people didn't play so often, but now mm-hmm. it's standard in there, and you're doing it. So tell us about your journey to Texas Tech and how you came to the Rock 3.
Okay, I'll do my best to link those two together. Yeah. I am originally from New Zealand, from Auckland, New Zealand, and I came to Texas to study with Jose Figali at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth. So I'm sort of a long-term resident of Texas in Fort Worth before eventually deciding I wanted to pursue a doctorate in performance. And I discovered the great Dr. William Wesney. So I sort of followed the teacher rather than the school. I didn't really know much about Texas Tech University. And I didn't realize at the time I began my journey at Texas Tech in the fall of 2012 that Dr. Wesney was going to retire in 2020, in the spring of 2020. And I have just graduated in May, mm-hmm. so I completed my degree. And also that I would be the last person to graduate with the PhD in performance, fine arts performance. So the timing was very fortunate for me. I had really focused on solo music for my 5 recitals that I did while I was a student. And then in 2018, I was really focused on completing my dissertation, which is a huge project. And I really, I'd done a big performance in New York at the end of 2017, and I wasn't really doing that much playing in 2018. But I, because I hadn't really done a lot of concertos, I decided, why not go out with this big project? And I didn't need it for anything, and Dr. Wesney thought I was crazy. But what a great journey to be able to work through this incredible piece of music. And he's just the person to work through that with as a teacher and a mentor. So I've been very fortunate, and of course I only had one go at the competition. It worked out for me, so I get this as an extra bonus. But the whole thing at Texas Tech has been great in many, many different ways.
Good. Well, we're excited. I love this concerto because it starts out so simply, and then it very quickly turns into something else entirely. And of course, big finish and a big cadenza. We're excited to hear you play it.
Thank you.
All right. All four of these wonderful students are performing this weekend with the Texas Tech University Symphony Orchestra on a concert called Elan of Youth, Friday evening in Himmler Recital Hall at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all very, very much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Today's edition of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm your host, Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Support for The Front Row comes from the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, announcing the 2019-2020 season. More information is at lubbocksymphony.org.